The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back, good people. You're here for another episode of Paper Route. I'm Corey Holmes, and of course I'm with Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon Marshall. How are we doing today? I see.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have been able to make it out yet, but Ashley's wearing her New York Knicks t-shirt.
Of course. Yeah, we play tonight, so I got good energy that I'm manifesting.
Oh,
early.
Lord. What are they up? What are y'all up? What
3-1.
Is this?
No,
series 2-2?
It's 3-1. It's 2-2.
3-1.
Yeah.
Or you can make it big. You can make the
Knicks looking good. Knicks honestly looking good. And you know who might be looking a little better is the Miami Heat. I don't know. I was just telling Ashley, Brandon, I should have worn my Jimmy Butler jersey today. I promise you, the next time he drops 40-plus points, I'm wearing a Jimmy Butler jersey. I'm just throwing that
right
out there.
Hold on. What did he drop? He dropped 50-something, didn't he, Ashley?
He dropped 56. But if it's 40-plus points, I'm throwing on the Jimmy Butler jersey. Just be
aware. I don't think he needs to drop 40-something, Corey.
What's that?
35
what,
would 30? Do.
30 or 5?
35 would do in the playoffs. Yeah. Listen,
if they
I
advance,
told you guys this.
I might do it if they advance. But go ahead.
I told you guys this. Leading up to the playoffs, and tell me if I'm wrong. This is the best product the NBA has ever put out postseason. I said it's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. Do I have any pushback from you, Corey, or Ashley, that this is the best playoffs that you guys have ever experienced so far?
I have no pushback for you. I honestly can agree with that.
Wait, hold on. What's today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, the Knicks don't play tonight. I'm sorry.
Oh, they tomorrow. Right?
I got excited. They're Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday. Sorry about that.
But it has been a great playoffs, though. I mean, like every game has been. I mean, of course, there's been a couple blowouts and whatnot, but we also been seeing very good defensive games. Like, I think one of the Cavs Knicks games ended with both teams scoring under 100 points. Like, sometimes you like to see that too, right? Like, teams really locking each
Absolutely.
Other up, playing good defense.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that. Before we jump into the show, Corey, I want to get y'all thoughts here. The thing that jumps out to me mm-hmm. is the intensity. We'd say that all the time. Postseason for the NFL, NBA, the intensity is just through the roof.
Yeah.
But I love seeing all the emotions, the body language, the facial expressions,
right.
crowd getting into it, the fist pumping, all of that. Like, I don't know what stand out for you guys, but I like the intensity. And I just, like I said yesterday, I wish there was some way they can put it in a bottle and carry it to the regular season.
Yeah.
It's impossible. There's so much going on in the regular season, so many games, so many people sitting out. But, man, if they did that, they'll have the best product in all of sports in my mind.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, the energy has been unmatched this year. I mean, like, we to your point. It's just like every night, like you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect out of the games and whatnot. Like, as we're seeing now, number one seed Bucks facing the number one, you know, the number eight seed Heat, right? Like, we're seeing that just across the board. We don't know what the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to do, right? Are they going to, you know,
we
have
know
a, like,
what
a little,
they're going
to
do.
I don't know. We'll see. Like, they might have a late run. That'd be crazy to see. I mean, it'd be you know, consistent with how the playoffs have gone this year if that series go to a game seven. So. you know, we'll see.
It's not going to a game seven.
Yeah. Why not?
Let's be for real.
We'll see.
Let's be honest.
But nonetheless, right, it was a wild night in the NBA last night, right, with monster performances. We already kind of talked about it from Jimmy Butler and also LeBron James. So we'll, you know, touch on that a little bit later. And today we'll continue our analysis of a few more teams, right, and their draft needs going into draft night on Thursday. But first, there was a notification that we've been waiting to see pop up on our phones probably for the past few months now, and it finally happened last night. And what am I referring to? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is officially a New York Jet. But what I want to do is actually look back at kind of just a series of events that led up to yesterday, right? So look here, January 8th, that was the Packers' last regular season game. So that was when the offseason officially really began for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Then you got February 18th, Aaron Rodgers enters his darkness retreat. And remind you, you know, he said he entered that darkness retreat 90% retired. Then it was on February 2nd, of course, he emerges from that darkness retreat. And then he learns, though, that the Packers, they're kind of just, you know, tired of his antics and they're ready to move on. Right. So then on March 7th, we learned that Jets owner Woody Johnson and a couple staff members visited Rodgers out in California at his home. Right. And it was, you know, in between the February 22nd and March 7th where, you know, Aaron Rodgers made the decision that, you know, I'm ready to, you know, suit up next season. I'm going to continue playing ball. Then it was on March 15th. Right. When he made an appearance on the Pat McAfee show where we thought that's when he was going to say, hey, I want to play for the Jets. I'm ready to play again. But, you know, he cleared things up and just said, hey, you know, I already announced that I'm, you know, ready to play. And I want to play for the Jets already. So that's really what the March 15th, you know, the appearance on that show served as. And then we learned yesterday that Aaron Rodgers officially is a New York Jet, right, with that trade finally going through. So let me read off some of, like, the details of that trade. So in that trade, the Jets received, of course, quarterback Aaron Rodgers. They also received a first-round pick. Basically, what the Jets and the Packers did is just switch their placement in this year's draft. So the Packers were originally at the 15th spot. So they just traded their first-round pick to the Jets. And the Jets also received a fifth-round pick. Now, the Packers, they received, again, like I mentioned, that 13th pick. Right, they just switched places. They received a second-round pick and a conditional 2024 second-round pick, which could switch to a first-round pick if Aaron Rodgers completes 65% of the snaps next season. So, Brandon, I'm going to start with you. Who won this trade?
Sometimes when we see this, we sit back and we say we have to wait until things unfold throughout the season to determine who won the trade. But right now, I can confidently say that the New York Jets won the trade. When you have, and I need a new line. Ashley, you got to help me with something else to refer to Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, when you have the best throw of the football, you know, that the game has ever seen, you won the trade.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at the makeup of this team and how this team is set up. We have a top five defense. You have a really good coaching staff. You have an owner that is willing to make the proper investment to get the job done. Then on the offensive side, you need a little bit more depth at the offensive line. But Aaron Rodgers, he's never had the Tom Brady offensive line. He's never had the Peyton Manning offensive line. Now, has he been protected? Absolutely. But his pocket presence takes care of some of the challenges that he may face up front. But they have a really good offensive line. Now, they need to protect him on the left side because you don't know if our left tackle is going to be able to stay healthy, if he's going to be available. But outside of that, they're rolling on the offensive side. Yeah, Hall, okay, he's coming off an injury, but he's a monster. And then you have three wide receivers that can go, and you're still not done. The draft hasn't even started yet. So I can confidently say that Aaron Rodgers won and the Jets won this trade. Now, you started this whole thing off by talking about Aaron Rodgers. You said, okay, this is what Aaron Rodgers said. This is what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. Why aren't we talking about Brian Gutekunst? Like, Brian Gutekunst, you are on the clock. And I'm not talking about the draft starting on Thursday at 8 p.m., I'm talking about you have 9 months to show that the move that you made 3 years ago was worth it. Because 3 years ago to this day, if you actually go back, you would know that one of his first moves, his biggest moves, was giving up a first round pick for Jordan Love. Do we not remember that? That's what started all of this. So for him to go out there and say, well, I would like to have talked to Aaron Rodgers and work this out with him. No, bro, this is all on you, bro. You got 9 months. You're on the clock. If you don't get this done, if your experiment goes wrong, you are out. And when I say out, he should be out of the NFL for good, especially at the general manager spot. We'll give you a scouting position. But nobody else give him the keys to the whole building. Nobody else let him be the decision maker. Because you made the worst decision probably, or I would say a top five worst decisions in all of sports. You don't come in and try to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. He was coming off of 26 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in 2019. You draft him, you give up a first round pick, and why is that a big deal? Because if you have Aaron Rodgers, go get him help. He needed a corner that year. Mm-hmm. He needed a safety. He needed a defensive tackle. He needed a linebacker. He needed a playmaker at wide receiver. Help the man out, but you go get a quarterback that's going to sit there. And he sat for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love sat for 3 years. What happened? Aaron Rodgers went back-to-back MVP. Now, last year, 3,600 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Not his greatest year. Some would say it's his worst year. Mm. I would say that. But this is Aaron Rodgers. You don't go out there and do that. So now, not only do you have Jordan Love taking over, but you also have until this spring to make a decision on his fifth-year option, and you haven't even seen him really lead the way. All you saw was last year when Aaron Rodgers was on another wellness retreat somewhere in Hawaii playing the guitar. You had Jordan Love leading the whole offseason. So that's really your sample size with Jordan Love. Yeah. So we can talk all we want about Aaron Rodgers. We can talk all we want about the New York Jets. But let's also make sure that we give Brian Gutekunst his 15 minutes of fame. Because this might be it for him. Oh. Right. And then a lot of times we sit back and we want to bash players. It's like, yo, turn on any network, watch any bloggers. Aaron Rodgers is difficult. Aaron Rodgers wanted this. Aaron Rodgers wanted that. Well, Ashley, let me ask you a question. If you're in a relationship, we like talking about relationships here. You can probably get over on a guy flirting with somebody else. Oh man, a guy's looking, the girl walked by. He did that famous look. You know when a guy's peeking and he's looking, he's flirting. But Ashley, can you get over your guy going out and marrying another lady, starting a whole family? That's what he did with Jordan Love. You drafted him in the first round. You can't get over it. But we want to bash Aaron Rodgers. So, Ashley, maybe you can get over it. But I don't know too many people in the world that can get over somebody going out and starting a whole family.
No, I mean, but I don't know if – I get that part, but I think also you can't blame the Packers for starting to think about the future, and that's what they did with Jordan Love. Now, whether or not that was transparent in their conversations with Aaron Rodgers is a different conversation, but this happens. It happened with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It's happened with quarterbacks throughout the history of the sport. You start thinking about the future. Now, was it a little ahead of the curve? Maybe. They probably didn't need a quarterback at that moment in that specific draft, but it was going to happen eventually. So I don't know if you can really like bash the Packers completely for starting that trajectory of, okay, what is life going to look like post Aaron Rodgers? Now you can maybe bash them for the timing of it, but you can't bash them for thinking about it.
But we can bash them. Okay. Come on, Ashley. Why are you being nice this morning? Yeah, I know what it is. Your Knicks is playing well. You want to be nice. You just came from Mexico. You're feeling better. You had a week down, recovering from the flu. You want to be nice? You really want to give Brian Gutekunst a pass right now?
I'm not giving him a pass. I'm saying that I can't blame an organization who has a 30-something-year-old quarterback for thinking about their future and looking and flirting with a younger QB. I can blame them for one, the lack of transparency that Aaron Rodgers alluded to when that situation went down. And I can blame them for the timing of it. I think it was premature, but I can't blame them for thinking about life post Aaron Rodgers. It's going to happen eventually. It's here now. And you wanted to go ahead and get ahead of that situation. So I'm not bashing them for that. But I can understand how you don't have that conversation with your quarterback, how that rubs him the wrong way, especially when he's made no indications that he no longer is wanting to play or is able to play or, you know, has a desire to play. So I can understand both sides of that. But I will say, in terms of who won the trade, which was the question that we started with, I'll say, obviously, right now the Jets won it. I mean, I think that's the obvious answer. But if the Jets don't win a Super Bowl, then they lost it. Because you gave up a lot to get a quarterback who's almost 40, who you don't know how much longer he's going to either A, be able to play the game, or B, want to play the game. And let's say, you know, let's play devil's advocate here and say he wakes up next season and he's like, you know what, my passion's not here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. You know, it was a fun season. I tried it. I want to go farm, or I want to go whatever, drink ayahuasca, whatever the heck it's called, and the Andes and things like that. Now you're in a situation where you gave up a lot for a quarterback you no longer have, and it's put your situation, your franchise, in a drastic hole that's going to set you back X amount of years. So they won it immediately, but if they don't go ahead and win and capitalize on Aaron Rodgers' full tenure as their head quarterback or as their new franchise quarterback, their starting quarterback, they lost.
Right. Yeah, your point's kind of lead me into my next question, right? Like, what are your expectations for the Jets? What are you expecting out of them next season?
They're going to be obviously a great team. Like Brandon mentioned, they have all the makings. You have Aaron Rodgers now. You know, no knock to Zach Wilson, but he's not Aaron Rodgers, and he's not even a top 10 quarterback. So, you know, you have that situation, and then you have a top 5 defense. They're a well-coached team. I'm a big fan of their head coach. So, I mean, you have all the makings for a successful season. Is it a Super Bowl season? I don't know. Could it be? Probably. Will it be? Don't know. All I'm simply saying is if you do not capitalize on this tenure of Aaron Rodgers while you have him, you lost this trade.
Yeah.
Listen, as simple as that.
I pushed back a little bit and said I disagree because I don't think it's a Super Bowl or bust, right? Like if I'm Woody Johnson, I'm looking at this trade and I'm saying, I just want a chance. I'm making this move because I want a chance. How many years has it been since the Jets have been a threat to anybody in the postseason? Okay, they had no opportunity to really threaten anybody and make a run at it and call themselves contenders. So if I'm Woody Johnson, absolutely, you're making this move to hoist the Lombardi, 100%. But it's not a bust if you make it to the postseason and you get kicked out of the AFC Championship. It's not a bust because I said this before, Ashley and Corey. I feel, and this is just my perspective, I just want a chance. I want an opportunity. I'm tired of going into seasons year after year after year knowing that we don't have an opportunity. That doesn't feel okay. Do you know how it feels walking into a ring or walking onto a football field knowing that you're about to get your ass kicked? That's all these guys want. Now, obviously, you know, they have everything to be sitting there and call themselves contenders, but I think you can hang your hat on them going out winning 11 games, 12 games, 13 games, and making a run deep into the playoffs.
But absolutely. I'm not saying that it's Super Bowl or bust. That's not what I'm saying. I agree with you. If they make it to an AFC Championship game, it's a successful season. What I'm saying is if they don't capitalize on Aaron Rodgers' his tenure while he's there, then it's a bust of a trade. Because if you only get one successful season with Aaron Rodgers, let's say he wakes up one day and he's like, I don't want to play football anymore. It's a bust of a trade, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying next season Super Bowl or bust. I'm saying while you have him, if there's not a Super Bowl there, it was a bust of a trade. Nah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I think the Green Bay Packers, I've said this for years, they have underachieved through the Aaron Rodgers era. When you have a guy like this, and he's part to blame as well. Hell, he might be 50% of the blame. But you mean to tell me you have one Super Bowl in, what was it, 16, 17 years as a Green Bay Packer? Yeah, that's a problem. So I do agree when you have a guy like that, it is about Super Bowls. But I just feel like, you know, it's hard to do this whole Tom Brady going to and I think did Matthew Stafford do it in his first year as well? Go to a new team and win a Super Bowl? I'm not sure. Maybe we fact check that. But that's hard to do. A new guy coming in with new people, a new system, which it probably wouldn't be too far off because they do have his offensive coordinator from the Green Bay Packers, Nathaniel Hackett there, who flamed out in year one with the Denver Broncos. So, you know, there's some familiarity there. But it's hard to come into a situation and win a Super Bowl. Ashley, the only thing I didn't like about the trade was the compensation in year two. All right, mm-hmm. If he plays 60-something percent, I think, Corey, you said if he plays 60-something percent this year, that number two goes to number one. I feel like they had all the leverage, and they could have held out just a little bit longer and push back on that. I don't think he, you know, a guy turning 40, you should be giving up a first round pick for, like Ashley said, when this could be a 1 year, 2 year thing. Now, I believe it's going to be a 2 to 3 year thing, but who knows with Aaron Rodgers, right? Going into the wellness retreat, one of the things that he said on your timeline or when he went on Pat McAfee show was, I went into the wellness retreat, into the dark, 90% retired. That's what he said. He came out, his phone was blowing up. Emails, text message. You know how you turn on your phone. Got 100 messages. Aaron Rodgers is on the trading block. And that's what gave him the desire, the motivation to go out there. I do want to say this, Ashley. NFL, beware. Look out. When Aaron Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder, there's no one greater. In the history of our game, there's no one greater when Aaron Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder. He's had a chip on his shoulder since draft night. Remember we made him wait? We made him wait. He was sitting in the green room. It was one of the most painful things that you could ever experience as a fan, as a player, watching it. Everybody felt sorry for the guy. And he then got drafted. And he sat on the bench for a couple of years while Brett Favre was doing the same dance that Aaron Rodgers was about to start doing. And now you're saying that Aaron Rodgers is done? Man, I tell you, I'm going to keep telling y'all this story. Y'all better get old, Ashley. You better help me with some new material. I was out there for the 7-on-7 flag football. I don't care if he was throwing to high school kids. I don't care if he's throwing to 14-year-old, 15-year-olds. I saw this guy drop back, Ashley, look to the left and throw a no-look pass to the right, 40 yards down the field. I've never seen that done before, and it was on the dime. This dude is special. This dude can play damn near 5 to 7 more years if he really wanted to. So beware, NFL. And you know, I'm a Jets fan. Ashley, you need to come to the dark side. Come celebrate with me a little bit, Ashley. We can have watch parties. You know,
I actually have zero beef with the Jets. My beef has always lied with the other losers they share that stadium with. So, like, I have no smoke for the Jets. Congratulations to the fans. Happy for y'all. You know, my beef has never been with you guys. It's not with y'all. So we're good.
So can I get you wearing a New York Jets jersey? Like, absolutely, what we can do is the 1 p.m. game, the first block of games, we'll watch the Jets game. Cooper, you have a little puppy. Cooper can come. Mom and dad can come. Uh-huh. Okay. All your friends can come. Uh-huh. Put your Jets stuff on. Then the 4 o'clock game will probably be the Cowboys game, right?
The only football jersey that ever touches this body is a Dallas Cowboys one. Sorry. It's just it's not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What jersey are you rocking this year?
It depends. I got Dak. I got CD. I like to switch them on and off. It depends on who's rocking and rolling that week. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's move on, guys. We're going to move on to the daily route, right? Cover some more of the bigger stories in sports. And what we're going to do is actually go through the two games that were last night, right? So the first one was the Miami Heat versus the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Heat just improved to 3-1 over the Bucks, so it's looking real good. But there goes that man, Jimmy Butler, or Jimmy Buckets, whatever you want to refer to him as. Last night, Jimmy dropped 56 points in the game for a win over the Bucks, right? He actually scored 22 in the first and then scored 21 in the fourth, right? To lead, again, the Miami Heat to a 119-114 win over the Bucks. If you're watching the game, in the last 5 minutes and 45 seconds of the game, the Heat went on a 30-13 run. It was at one point in the fourth quarter, they had to have been up by, I think, 11 points. So, I mean, they just stormed back to take that win over the Bucks, right? So, I want to talk about Jimmy Butler, though, right? Like, honestly speaking, that was one of the best playoff performances in history. He's number four in total points scored in playoff history, tied with, I think, Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, the GOAT. You know, that's another conversation and whatnot. But now, this might be a little far-fetched, but let's say Jimmy Butler makes a run this year. Mm-hmm. And they win a title. Can Jimmy Butler be one of the greatest Heat players in history? Like, I can honestly say, again, Dwayne Wade County as we know it right now. But he won a championship with Shaq, another superstar. Mm-hmm. He won two with LeBron James, you know, another GOAT, and a Chris Bosh, two additional superstars. Now, granted, Bam, he's a great player. Kyle Lowry, he's a great player.
Right now? What is Corey trying to do right now?
Jimmy Butler would have essentially done this by himself. Could he go down as the best Heat player in history?
The best? No.
Oh,
one of the
my
best?
Goodness. I'm done.
Can he go down as the best Heat player in history?
The best? No. One of the best? I don't think that's far-fetched. I mean, when you think of the best, you're thinking Alonzo Mourning. You're thinking D-Wade, like you mentioned. I don't think it's far-fetched to say one of the best. Mm-hmm. That was hands
down. Tim Hardaway.
Down. That was hands.
Senior.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that you can go ahead and throw in there. That was hands down.
Ain't too many.
That was one of the best.
Because not too many have championships.
That was hands down, though, one of the best performances I've ever seen in a basketball game, period. Like, playoffs, regular season. Also, probably one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in that arena. Like, I saw Ray Allen hit that shot in game six from the corner. And that was insane. But this was like, I mean, Jimmy was locked in a way that, like, you only see in video games. Like, that man could not miss. Like, it was, he was just firing those shots off from every part of that court. And it was just like, you were on bated breath waiting to see if it was going to fall in. And when it fell in, it was like you didn't see it just 30 seconds prior. It was absolutely insanity. He's walking around the court saying, this is my house. He single-handedly brought the Heat back into this series. Like, it looked like it was over for them. It looked like, all right, they're gonna tie it up, they're gonna bring it back to Milwaukee. We already know how that goes. Like, hands down, one of the greatest games performances I have ever seen. Jimmy Butler is him. I'm fingers crossed that the Heat come out of this. I want Knicks Heat in the second round. That was Jimmy is a dog, man. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. Did you bring
it? Bated breath. Huh? To slow or stop something. Thank you, Ashley, for always giving us a new word. Bated breath. That's pretty good. Yeah. Listen, you're absolutely foolish for even letting those words come out your mouth, Corey, talking about the greatest Heat player ever.
All right.
Man, like what D-Wade means to the Heat is almost what Michael Jordan means to the NBA. You know, it's just like something just so special, right? It's just the way he conducted himself in that era. Like, I mean, he's loved. There's only a few players like that. I agree with what Ashley said, one of the greatest performances. And it wasn't like anything crazy, like these crazy dunks, you know, hitting seven threes in a row. It wasn't that. It was just moments. You know, like, he took advantage of the moments. And then when the crowd was going crazy, he had another moment. He had a steal, right? A block, a three, a dunk. Like, he was in the right place. Ashley, I don't know if this was Jimmy Butler's greatest performance in a Heat uniform. I actually enjoyed the one where, remember, he was out of gas. Was that the bubble or was that the year after?
The bubble. I mean,
like, bubble, that was something special, seeing Jimmy Butler, like, give it his all. And that's what makes him special is how he competes.
Yeah.
It's like you have when to love counts. The guy. He's always going to be there to
rate
him. The
bubble was a good one. But
that was
this,
a great, yeah, yeah.
That this was different, man, because it really looked like for three quarters, it looked like the Bucks were going to take it. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go back to Milwaukee. And like I said, you kind of know how that happens. You get those home calls. There were a lot of suspect calls in this game. And you were like, it's coming crashing down for Miami. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't win this one. They go. It's going to be a hard climb. You know, right. Bam wasn't having a good game. Just this. You know, they don't have Tyler Hero. Like, he broke his hand. It was Victor Oladipo. The news of him. You know, not. Yeah. You know, being able. He had a. He has a tendon.
Yeah, torn patella tendon.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Can you say that? Hold on. Let's go back. That's what makes Jimmy Butler special. And there's only a few players like this that can elevate and rise to the occasion. Ashley, you just talked about Bam struggling last game. You talk about Jimmy Butler being out, Victor going down, right? You have an older, aging, pretty much done. I love him, but Kevin Love there. I say all that because there's a psyche around an athlete, right? When it's like, yo, our backs are against the wall and it's all on me. And when you're able to understand that situation and then rise to the occasion, that's where like greatness really lives and you're special. And that's what makes Jimmy Butler special. And that's why I brought up that bubble game as well, because he couldn't come out, Ashley. He had to play every single minute. And it was either I get it done or we're out of here. And the dude had nothing left in the tank. I will say this, you know, there's like 320 million Americans, give or take a few. And there's 120 that are, or 100 million that are avid football fans. I would say half of that, like those 100 million football fans, are probably avid basketball fans. And I just want to say this, like, I don't know. I'm like a casual watcher. I'm not like Ashley. Ashley is, she covers the sport. She knows the sport, a little bit of a history buff.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Start clean with Clorox. Because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And she also loves it, right? For me, I just like kind of keep up with it, and I like playing basketball. But if you guys haven't tapped in truly to, you know, the storylines and what's going on in the NBA right now, you have to. Yeah. It's pretty fun to watch. I mean, you can find different storylines, whether it's in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference. There's a lot of drama. Even just watching as a sports fan, casual sports fan, and watching the environment and watching these players rise to the occasion and lean into clutch moments. So wanted to highlight that. Ashley, thanks for teaching us a new word, bated breath. Corey, I'm so disappointed that you would even ask us that question. Can he be the greatest Heat player ever? Like, aren't you a Heat fan?
I am a Heat fan, actually. But
so you give just... give me your top three Heat players ever, in order.
Top three, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, I say Dwayne Wade's definitely number one. Number two gotta be, I'd say, Alonzo Mourning.
Yep.
And then three, like yo, you gotta make the argument. You gotta make. Because everybody else I'm thinking of was only there for like a short period of time.
Please say it. Please say it so I can get up and walk away. No, just say
the
name.
LeBron.
Say the name so I can get up and walk away.
I know,
but you got LeBron. We forget about LeBron. I feel like he's not associate LeBron with a Heat jersey.
No, I don't. I don't associate LeBron. I don't associate Shaq even, really. I don't associate Chris Bosh. I don't associate Ray Allen. Like, these are all great players.
Like, LeBron was there for what, 4 years? Ashley, five?
You would call
there?
LeBron no. James one of the greatest Heat players. He would, like, come on. You associate LeBron with the Cavs before you do, like, no, I'm not giving
I got like
I'm associating LeBron James with as a Cav, as a Heat, whatever team he was on, 100%.
I got a 3A and a 3B because, like, every other established Heat player doesn't have a chip. You know what I'm saying? So I'd have to say Hardaway and Butler, like. Hardaway and Butler is 3A.
I like Hardaway.
Hardaway 3A, you know what I'm saying? And then Jimmy
Butler
3B.
I give you Hardaway.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a debate though. Like, we can't throw LeBron in there?
That's what I'm
really
not like before not no. before a Tim Hardaway.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between LeBron and Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler was with the Bulls, and I don't know, I think he was somewhere before, then he went to Philly, right? And then made his way to Miami. So what's the difference?
I only say this because we're getting the best version of Jimmy Butler as a Miami Heat. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a Miami Heat player. Mm. I don't. You couldn't say that.
More than likely, this will be his last stop.
Exactly.
He'll retire a Heat player.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, LeBron came to Miami, won his chips, went back to Cleveland, won. Now is a Laker. Like, this will be Jimmy's final stop. So his lasting memory will be with the Miami Heat. It's a it's a different timeline.
They love him. I before y'all push the conversation forward, I will say this. Like, you know, we talked about D-Wade. I think he'll be one of the most loved Heat players. You know, I think it's easy. D-Wade, they love Zoe still. Zoe is the man in Miami. Mm-hmm. He's still a part of the organization. He's there every single game.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Butler's right there. Jimmy Butler can be rivaling Alonzo Mourning as one of the most loved Heat players ever. Maybe one of the most loved Miami athletes ever. You know, you can argue that. Huh?
Jimmy or D Wade?
Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler. Because just how he does things, man. He's funny. He's a clown. He's serious. He's competitive. He's clutch. He's like all of the things. Like, people gravitate towards Jimmy Butler. People love Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Like I said, man. Next time, like I said, I think if they advance to the next round, I'm wearing a Jimmy Butler jersey in the first episode that we come back. All right. So we're gonna move on, right? You had mentioned LeBron James, so we're gonna move to that later game last night. And LeBron James and the Lakers now have a commanding 3-1 lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. And last night, LeBron actually did something he's never done in his career before. He recorded 22 points and 20 rebounds. It's the first time he's ever had a 20-20 game. And he is the oldest player to ever record a 20-20 game. Interesting. But Ashley, I got to ask you, are the Memphis Grizzlies cooked right now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, John Morant, the fact that he's even playing is unbelievable to me. But, I mean, his hand is he's virtually out there playing with one hand. You know, if you watch the game, he's constantly trying to go to his left because his right hand is
compromised,
and that makes you a liability on the floor because teams are going to know, all right, he can't play with his right, don't let him go to his left, and that's what the Lakers were doing to him, right? Mm-hmm. But Ja, man, like, he's got to change the way he plays the game. I mean, it's actually frightening watching him play.
Did you see him try to jump over LeBron?
I mean, he tried to level over LeBron James. And it's funny, like, when you think about it, like, in terms of, you know, memes and stuff like that, but it's not funny when you think about his longevity.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot continue to play like this. He will not have a long career. And if you don't believe me, Look at Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson used to play like that very early on in his career. The game was a lot more physical when Iverson was in it. Mm-hmm. And he even had to add floaters and other things to his game because you cannot have a long career like that. You are going to get hurt. I mean, every time he has the ball in his hand, he's flying in the air. He's landing on that hand multiple times. He's in excruciating pain. He cannot play the game like this. He has to learn how to shoot from mid-range. He has to get a three-point shot. Yeah. Like, you cannot continue to drive it in the lane like that and just be an acrobat. It is not a way to have a long career.
Not sustainable.
Outside of that, I mean, Desmond Bane had a great game. Dylan Brooks runs his mouth, got shut up again. They just don't have enough firepower. Like, there's just not enough to compete with the Lakers right now. If Ja Morant was 100% healthy, we may have a different series. Like I said, it's extremely impressive that they were even able to compete to the level that they did, bring it into overtime with him playing with one hand, but it's just not enough.
Yeah.
There's just not enough there.
Yeah.
Ashley, can we go back a couple of weeks? And I talked about the Lakers going on an amazing run. Now, I know you're going to say Ja Morant's hand. You know, you had an amazing monologue around Ja Morant's hand.
I'm not giving this to you, Brandon, because you said they were coming out of the West. Last time I checked, beating a depleted Grizzlies team is not going on a hell of a run. Stop it.
But let me ask you this question. Are you starting to believe a little bit more in the Lakers?
I'm not gauging their ability to get out of the West based on beating a depleted Grizzlies team. I'm not.
Okay. That's not even
a smart bet. Like,
so they'll get past the Grizzlies and
if they beat the Warriors,
yes,
then we can talk.
Yes.
But that's not going to happen.
You don't like the Lakers over the Warriors,
no,
right now?
Absolutely not.
And even think about last night too. Like, LeBron was phenomenal, just all over again. Clutch moments. Jimmy Butler, he didn't drop, 30. You know, what he had 20 something. You said, Corey,
22.
But it was those hustle moments, man. Like, rebounds are deadly, especially on the offensive side. And LeBron was all over the place. Listen, Ashley, you should start believing. You know, there's champions, right, that really understand the situation. LeBron understands the situation. I'm not saying they're going to win the finals. I'm win a championship. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's going to be some interesting basketball with whoever's lined up on the opposite side of them. That's all I'm saying. And I just want you to start believing just a little bit. That's it.
Okay.
Yep. We'll see how this series ends. All right, we're actually going to switch gears to the NFL, right? So as I mentioned earlier, each day leading up to the draft, we're going to division by division to look at the needs of each team and tell you, what they need to prioritize. So today we're going to break down the AFC East and AFC West, but we're going to start with the AFC East. So, Brandon, this is your time to shine. Let's start with the Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins going into the draft, they're looking at tight ends, offensive linemen, running backs. What do you think they should prioritize?
So listen, the biggest thing that they needed was a backup quarterback, and they went out and got the young man from
the Jets, Mike White.
Mike White, right? If Mike White, listen, we don't – y'all. I know y'all hate when I do this, I talk about guys going down, but it's inevitable, right? But, let's say Tua has a bruised hamstring next year, right? Because this team, man, they just added Jalen. They got the chosen one, or chosen Anderson, changed his name, okay? Robbie Anderson changed his name to chosen. They got playmakers all over the field. This team... The worst thing that can happen to this team is Tua going down and then it's over, right? So if Mike can come in and do what he did last year, they'll be right in position. I think if they add a little bit more depth to the running game, which they don't really lead with the run like that, they are RPO offense, run pass option. You can have two options on one play. So it opens up, everything. Pretty much. I was kind of in this system a lot where, we could go to the line and you have 2 to 3 plays and it just, you pick your poison. But I say that because, like, running back, they need to go running back. and they need a playmaker at running back. Ashley was talking about it yesterday, like this new age running back, a guy that can get out of the backfield and just add a little bit more to the passing game. So if they add depth there, I think they'll be fine. This is another scary team. I was hearing people yesterday talk about different tiers. They're not in that first tier, but I think if they get off to an amazing start, you can easily see them in tier one when it comes to the NFL. But this division is going to be tough. Buffalo, you got the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and you still got the Patriots. You got to respect Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So running back, you'd say, right? That should be
yes.
there. Yeah, they're prior to going. I agree. Definitely need to grab another running back. All right, next team. I think we got the Patriots next. Let me confirm that. Yep, we got the Patriots. So right now they're on their boards, wide receivers, tackles, safeties. What do you think they should prioritize?
Listen, I'm going to say this. Everything, and I said this yesterday about the Houston Texans, and I don't know if this is true, but I read something yesterday. On paper, the New England Patriots have the worst roster in all of football. I think that's what I read, but I could be wrong.
Wow.
Where's the stars at? Right? Like they just need some stars.
Yeah.
They don't really have any stars. I would actually say if the right guy's sitting there at the quarterback position, I would even think about that as well. But I'm going to say everything the same way I approached it with the Houston Texans yesterday.
Yep. Just improve your team, please. All right. Now we got the Jets right now at the top of their board. They got offensive tackle. They got tight end. And
we good. D-line. We good. You can move on.
He said we good. He said we good.
Actually going to be sitting there with that Jets jersey on with Cooper. Go ahead. Let me let you finish.
All right, so yeah, no, Jets. And then, well, so to round out the AFC East, then you got the Bills. So right now they're looking at receivers, linebackers, and edge rushers.
All right, so really quickly, Jets, I'll go left tackle. Some depth there. Not sure if our big boy going to be, pause, if he's going to be healthy and if he's going to be able to stay around, but he's a dog when he's healthy. Buffalo Bills. You can add. Do I build around Josh Allen or do I add a little something on the defensive side? I'll probably build around Josh Allen. I would either go a need on the offensive line or I would go with the tight end wide receiver if the right guy is sitting there when you're picking, right? Like, but I'm building around Josh Allen. Josh Allen is special. You know, Josh Allen's going to win 7 games, 8 games himself. You give him a little bit more help. You know, now that gets you to 10 wins, 11 wins.
Yep, we'll see. That should be definitely a competitive division. All right, we're going to move to the AFC West now, right? And I think our first team is the Denver Broncos. Right now they're looking at edge rushers. They got wide receiver on the boards, and they got offensive line. What do you think they should be looking at day one?
Offensive line? Like, y'all want to crush my boy Russ? Like, oh, y'all go through a whole year crushing Russell Wilson. Like, come on, that's not even fair. Did y'all not see what happened last year, Ashley? Before the season even started, how many offensive linemen went down?
I know.
He was playing with 7, 8 different versions at the offensive line. And then y'all want to go out there and say, Russell's cooked. Oh, my goodness, Russell's done. Coach Peyton needs to fix Russell. No, fix the offensive line and see what happens with the most winningest quarterback through 10 years. So I'm going offensive line.
Now, really excited to see what the Broncos do next year, though. But, all right, we got the Chiefs. Right now they're looking at D linemen, wide receiver, and edge rushers. What do you think they should prioritize?
Again, build around. You have Coach Spags over there, defensive coordinator. Your defense is never with Patrick Mahomes and the investment you're making over there on the offensive side. You're never going to be a top 5, top 10 defense. It's not happening. You need a defense that can – you know, play great in the red zone, play great situational football and rise to the occasion, can get to the quarterback here and there. I think they lost Clark, so they do need a pass rusher. But I am actually going with wide receiver, okay? We saw that last year that Patrick Mahomes he's like Aaron Rodgers. He makes guys better. You know, that's what great quarterbacks are supposed to do. Peyton Manning, we saw Peyton Manning do this time and time again, make guys better. You're a B-list wide receiver, tight end. With them, you're going to be an A-list guy. I'm actually investing in a wide receiver. Hell, maybe even another tight end. Maybe Andy switch it up a little bit and take a little bit from the New England Patriots going out there running those 12
tight end
personnel stuff, sets. But I'm definitely going playmaker on the offensive side.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. All right, next team, we got the Raiders. They're looking at corners, edge rushers, and quarterbacks. Actually, a report yesterday – if I'm not mistaken, they said that they may be looking at drafting a quarterback to compete with Jimmy Garoppolo for the starting position. So, you know, thought that was interesting. But what do you think they should prioritize heading into the draft?
Listen, I'm still in Las Vegas right now. I'm glad that we're not in Oakland because what I'm about to say, well, no, I guess that, you know, Oakland Raiders fans are real. Raiders fans.
Oh, yeah, they're still over there.
They're real. They're the realest. Sometimes they're too real. So they would appreciate, you know, my real answer. They don't need any of those positions. Corey, Ashley, can you help me? Let's see if Ashley knows me. Ashley, what do they need, Ashley Nicole Moss? What does the Las Vegas Raiders need? They don't need a quarterback. They don't need a receiver. They don't need a running back. What do they need?
A new what head do they coach?
Need? Yes, Ashley knows me. Yes. They need a head coach. They need a head coach. So let's replace all of those position needs and put head coach right there, HC.
I'm weak. All right. To finish off the AFC West, we got the Chargers. Right now they're looking at running backs, linebackers, and D linemen. What are you thinking there?
Well, you know, the running back they got, Eckler. Eckler wants the deal. They haven't gotten that done yet. He requested a trade. Keep your running back.
Yeah.
Again, Ashley, we talked about this yesterday. The disrespect around the running back. You know, I can kind of understand there's some validity behind it, but when you have a guy like that that adds so much to what you're doing, try to find a way to keep him around, make him happy. I won't go running back there. I'll just pay the guy I have and maybe deeper in the draft or maybe from a, you know, post-draft, see what's out there from a veteran standpoint, add some depth at running back. Bosa's going to be healthy, so I'm not going D-line. I am actually going wide receiver there, and I don't even know if you had that on your list. Like, I'm just giving my guy, Herbert, who some people say is top five, I'm giving him more weapons. Yeah. So I'm going wide receiver.
All right. Interesting to see what they'll do there in the draft. And that's it, right? So tomorrow we'll be back with the NFC North and NFC South teams. So, of course, if you, any of your teams are in those divisions, stay tuned. All right. So we're going to transition to Fact or Foolish. Right. So if you guys remember, I'm going to read a statement. Right. You guys determine whether it's fact or foolish and you got to give your explanation why. So for our first statement, we got Minnesota Timberwolves. We were actually talking about this a little earlier. Make it to game 7 versus the Nuggets. Fact or foolish?
I'm not even going to dignify this with a long answer. The answer is foolish. Like, be for real.
What you got, Brandon? You think they could shock the world? Bring it to game 7.
What is it, 3-1?
It's 3-1.
It's 3-1 right now?
Yeah, number one seed versus the 8 seed. Minnesota Timberwolves hanging on for their loss right now.
That's game 5-3-2.
The answer's foolish, Brandon. It's not that complex.
So, look, basically, like, the next game is in Denver. They obviously would have to beat them. Then they got a home game.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah, big boy over there.
He's averaged about 30 in this series, too. He's doing really well.
Nuggets. This is foolish. Ashley's foolish. Right.
That's
Ashley's
fair.
Right. It's foolish. Man, that sucks. This is supposed to be a better game.
It's supposed to
be more competitive, but it's foolish, Corey.
Yeah, maybe Minnesota's just proven that the two big man, you know, dynamic just isn't working. It seems to not be working for a lot of teams. Cavs, too. Both teams find themselves down 3-1 right now. So maybe the small ball is winning. All right, next one, guys. Sacramento's hopes for a deep playoff run are gone without De'Aaron Fox. The latest reports are saying that he broke his finger on his shooting hand, which is, you know, he's a lefty, his left hand. Fact or foolish? What you think, Ashley?
I'm not going to say foolish. I'm going to say foolish only because there's a possibility he can play through it if he has a shooting a hand sleeve on, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little brace.
So while it's unlikely because I just think the Warriors have their number now. I'm not going to go ahead and say it's because of De'Aaron Fox. So that's why I don't agree with the statement.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to have a deep playoff run. They're going to get eliminated.
Yeah, I mean,
so let me get this right. One of your best players goes down.
He's not down. He's going to be able to play through it. I'm just saying that
we don't know it yet.
It came out that he's more than likely going to be able to play through it with a brace on his hand.
Well, I guess we'll know.
I'm not going to say that the playoff run hopes are gone because of De'Aaron Fox. I just think they're gone because the Warriors have their number.
I see.
At this point.
Let me get this right. So it's fact. because of that. Like, you know, the guy you just talked about, Ja Morant, earlier, Ja Morant, he's dealing with a hand issue. That's a big deal. It's fact. It's over for him. It's a wrap.
We shall see. All right, next one, guys. The Phoenix Suns' lack of depth will hurt them if they advance to the next round. Fact or foolish?
Fact. Foolish. That bench is questionable.
I mean, that's literally their rotation right there.
That's their rotation. They have a five-man rotation.
Yep. Hey, Corey, you know what you don't need?
What's
when
that?
You have KD, Devin Booker, Paul. You don't need a bench.
You don't need a bench.
I think what the first few games they combined, KD and Devin Booker combined for like 80-something points or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever that stat line was. You don't need a bench. You just need those guys to stay healthy. Get them a Gatorade. Get them the electrolytes. Do you have your electrolytes with you?
Hey.
Send them those electrolytes. Send them the elements.
I haven't.
And you have it?
This is how you know I'm using it, because it's empty.
There you go. Water, see, water, that's all they need. Element. You know what that happens? Your body is made up of 70%. I keep telling you, Corey, with these dang little plastic water bottles, you're missing it. Bro, hey man, invest in a nice water bottle with your electrolytes.
I just heard this man say, you don't need a bench.
Yeah, he did just say that, though.
That's exactly what I said, Ashley.
He might need some electrolytes.
Okay.
Listen, she didn't believe me when I talked about the Lakers. She didn't believe.
I still don't believe you about the Lakers.
Okay, well, we have that right there.
You're boasting about beating the Grizzlies.
We'll revisit this in a few weeks. So now we're talking about the Warriors, and what's the team? The Kings. Yeah. The Warriors and the Kings. Their boy, his hands hurt.
The Kings are a better team.
The Warriors.
Huh? The Kings are a better team than the Grizzlies.
No, I mean. Yes, they are a better team. But what I'm saying is we're not going to celebrate the Warriors beating the Kings because their guy's hand, his phalanges is hurting. All right? I'm just saying let's revisit this. Phalanges. You know what phalanges are?
I know what phalanges are, but I don't understand what.
Metatarsus. Is this metatarsus?
We got it.
But let's just revisit that, okay? Let's also revisit this whole Suns debate. Whether she wants to do it the next round or the following round, we can do that. We can revisit it.
All right, Nick, this next one is for you, Ashley. New York Knicks close out the series against the Cavs in game 5. Fact or foolish?
I want to.
That's going to be in Cleveland.
But I don't think we will.
Yeah.
I always had Knicks in 6. That was always my estimation, my prediction rather. I'm going to stick with that. I think it's going to be hard. You know, they're on the verge of being bounced, home calls, you know, things, I don't know, things sometimes get murky in situations like that. I'm sticking with Knicks in 6.
Knicks in 6. What do you think, Brandon?
Sorry, I'm watching all these lovely people walk by. I'm in Blue Wire Studios, the win. It's kind of a distraction, actually. We talked about building our studio like this in Miami. I don't know if it's going to work. Are you going to be able to stay focused with people walking by, looking at us like we're fish in a tank?
I'm not the one looking at them right now. You are.
I know, but I know. You think you'll be able to make it through a whole show? Oh, look. Can we get that shot? Can y'all show him?
Yeah, hold on. Did it.
I don't see anybody.
Do you play NFL? Are you in the NFL? Why aren't you in the NFL? How tall are you?
Flexing up.
Huh? Come on in. Bring him in the studio. Bring this guy in the studio.
Oh, my God.
Come on in. Come on the door. They're going to let you in. See who this guy is. He's like 6'8".
That guy's 6'8".
300 pounds.
No, not that dude.
Quads. He got the Saquon Barkley quads.
What?
Unbelievable. You
must have seen a different guy.
I'm talking about this guy right here. That guy was 6'8". Coming in.
He didn't look that tall.
Give him some headphones. Put up the set. We need the set. But anyways, what was the question? All right, come here, buddy.
Yeah, do you
what up, champ? Come stand right here.
Yeah, do you have the Knicks?
You're distracting me in the show. What's up? You look good. What do you do?
I do insurance now.
Dang, that dude is
6'8". You used to play ball?
Yeah, I played at Jacksonville State.
Yo, that dude is 6'8".
Damn.
You went to HBCU? Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State. Okay.
This ain't Neon Dion.
Okay. So you keep yourself going.
I definitely thought he was like 5'10".
You got to bend down. You got the mic.
Yeah, I try to. I try to keep myself going. Doing some CrossFit, break league basketball, you know, just doing the things.
So, what are y'all doing here in Vegas?
We're here for a superstar trip that we won off sales for my insurance company, Alpha Insurance, out of Alabama.
How much did you do in sales last year?
Did about $500,000 my first year, in the business, so that's good. It's my beautiful wife, Tillery. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary March 12th, so it's first time in Vegas having a good time.
That's awesome. I'm proud of you guys. And Tillery?
Yeah, Tillery.
Is he taking that same athlete mindset to business? Can you see him taking that discipline there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What's the secret, bro, to doing 500,000 in sales? Tell the people out there. There's a lot of salesmen and women out there. Really quickly before you leave, Quadzilla.
He said Quadzilla.
I'll just say just kind of like the extra mile, you know, just pushing a little bit more. You know, my office is open from, you know, 9 to 5, but if you get there at 9 and you leave at 5, you're just the average Joe. You know, but if you can get there, I get there about 8 o'clock and, you know, you're prepared, you're ready to go. You got your computer on, you got the phones ready. You know, you're awake, you're alert. You're ready to service your customers. You're ready to maximize the day and don't take any day for granted. You know, and then if you have to stay a little bit longer to take care of a customer, show them that you truly care. You know, you got a mom, she's late on her payment. It's, you know, 5:15, you want to go home. You're like, all right, hey, mama, I got you. I'm going to stay until 5:30 until you get off work. You know, and then just going that extra mile, your customers, they feel that, they believe that. They know that you truly care. And so, therefore, they're going to tell more people. They're like, hey, that Landon Rice, he truly cares about his customers. You know, instead of going online and get insurance, I'm going to call Landon Rice to get that personal touch. You know, it's going to treat you like family. That's that How's Your Mom and Them service.
What is it called?
How's Your Mom and Them service.
How's Your Mom and Them service.
Hey, you're from the South, aren't you?
Well, I spend a lot of time in the South, basically. Kind of.
So you know that hospitality.
Yeah, I get it. That's right. Southern hospitality. I love this. Hey, you're going to be super successful, man. We're at 9:30 mark. Stay right here really quick. What was the last question? I'm going to let – what's your name again?
Landon.
Landon, you're going to get us out of the show. Tell everybody come back tomorrow, paper route, 12 o'clock Eastern. Hold on 1 second. Corey, what was the last question?
So the last one, right? The Houston Rockets, will they make the playoffs next season with new head coach Ime Udoka? Ime Udoka.
I'm going to let Ashley answer this. You see the question down there? Go ahead, Ashley.
Factor foolish.
I'm going foolish.
Foolish.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka, former Celtics head coach, if you guys don't remember, was terminated from his job, but great coach nonetheless.
Okay. Factor foolish. That's the show. Do you want to... You know, how your mom and them, give them the how your mom and them service to end the show. You got the name of the show. I'm going to see how you do it. It's Paper Out. That's Ashley Nicole Moss. That's Corey in the cut. Okay, I'm Brandon Marshall. We're in Blue Wire Studio. Let's see if you can put it all together. We're back tomorrow at noon. I just gave you a lot of information.
That's a lot. All right, we got Cole in the cut right there.
Cole.
Got the fresh fade. Look at you, man. You balling out. I like that. I need to go see your barber. You got that high top fade. We got Ashley. What's up, Ashley?
Hi.
New York. You know, she's up in New York. That's what's up. We got B Marshall down here. We're in Vegas. Y'all come back tomorrow, 12 Eastern time. We're going to lay it out. We're going to get all the information. It's going to be what's up. So y'all tune back in.
Yes, sir.
We got it, John. Oh, my God. We see y'all tomorrow. Peace. My dog. Yeah, he's the green.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.